The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want the good news, you want the bad news?
I don't like either one of those options.
Your words are super wise, man.
You are a prophet. You deserve a prophet.
You do whatever you want. Who am I to tell you what to do?
But you're a psychologist.
Well, I know less than you do.
You're making me a better parent and a better wife, and thank God you're on the radio.
What planet are you on? I don't buy any of that stuff.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
What are you talking about?
You make my afternoon really fun. Enjoy ya.
You're about the most exciting thing I have right now.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
See, exactly my point. Research is coming out that lockdowns don't work at all in preventing the spread of COVID. And that poor kid, you see how bad it is? See how bad lockdowns are? That I am the most exciting thing in a young kid's life? I mean, I could see that if you have a dull life and you're a grown-up like me and you don't do much and you go to bed at 8:30. But a kid? Life is a theme park for a kid nowadays, and I am the most exciting thing in his life? Anecdotal proof that lockdowns create misery. Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. The program here, The Doctor Is In. Number 877. Notice I don't say the number to call the program is. That's a waste of words. Number 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. If you'd like to get onto the program, ask questions, comments, help out others, particular questions, broad-based questions, certain things that matter to you. I'm a shrink. I was at the office this morning. I schedule my clients throughout the week at different times, but I always have to break to come to the radio program, and I'm delighted to do so. Now, I'm not doing professional psychology here, but we can talk, hopefully, give you enough guidance. That's even a bad word. Give you a suggestion, a thought, an insight. You know, the more you understand the people in your life, the better you can treat them. I think that seems to be holding up. So, 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Okie dokie. I'm going to say something that I think pretty much every human being from the beginning of people on Earth, Adam and Eve, after the garden's fall, by the way, not before, believed, knew, and accepted at a much higher level, and as a consequence, created less anxiety because they knew this was reality. What is this brilliant observation I'm going to make? Life is risk. Oh, come on, Dr. Ray, we all know that. No, I don't think we do. I think somewhere we might be forced to accept it because reality always intrudes on our wrong ideas. Maybe it's better said, we don't want life to be risk. For most of human history, people died young a lot. I've seen statistics that said 50% of kids died before age 5 in much of human history. You go back and you look at the Spanish flu. My wife checked into some of her ancestry and Spanish flu. 21, 23, 25-year-old mothers dying. Spanish flu, same family. Assaults. You know, when you were conquered by another country, what are you going to do? You going to take them to court? You going to sue them? No, they conquered you. They came in and took you over. What about food? Did you have enough food? It was so important that our Lord said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, many theologians have talked about that as the super daily bread, the Eucharist. But you could also interpret it as, hey, food, we don't know where our next meal is coming from. Life has always been incredible risk. People knew it. We don't want it to be risk anymore. You know, if you're a young person, your number one chance of death is a car accident. That's a risk. That is your biggest risk. Except in your mother's womb, that's by far your biggest risk. You have about a quarter chance of dying in your mother's womb. Car accident. Are you not going to get in a car? Because if you don't get in a car, you can reduce that risk to zero. Well, no, you get in a car. Why? Because the risk-benefit ratio, in your opinion, is acceptable. Okay. When COVID was floating around all over the place, and the media was just whipping up the flames, making everybody scared, 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 scared. Was it worth the risk to not see your grandkids? To not associate with friends? To be isolated for weeks and months at a time, shut down, away from everybody and everything? Not doing standard medical checkups? Drinking more alcohol? Getting heavier? What's the risk-benefit there? See, I submit to you, we took that because we don't want any risk. So if somebody is relentlessly telling you, risk, 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 don't go to church, don't go to church, don't go to confession, don't get communion, don't be around people, risk, 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 even though statistically you might be in a group where the risk is quite low. And we gave up so many things, partly because we were ordered to, partly because we were told to, partly because we were forced to. Even some of the other countries are much more tyrannical in their governmental heavy boot than some of ours have been. Good thing we got states that can sort of direct their own way. We don't want risk anymore. Why? It's part of life. I'm not saying you be stupid. I'm not saying you don't look at everything without some kind of safety consideration. Of course not. But the question becomes, what is the lowest level of risk that you won't accept to benefit other parts of your life? You know, when the mask mandate came back, or when the mask mandate was there for churches, but the churches were allowed to open up at limited capacity, there were a lot of people who didn't go. You realize the risk of them getting COVID, especially if they were under 60 and reasonably healthy, was just, if they got it, it was small, and if they had complications from it, it was even way smaller. But they didn't go to church. So what does that say about the level of risk that will stop you from doing good things? We don't want risk in our culture anymore, and I think that is a byproduct that we believe heaven should be here. As we move away from God, or as is more commonly happening, we make God as we decide him to be, which is always kind of like us, then this life becomes ever so more important. And that means, by extension, that anything that I smell is a risk to this life. Now, come on. Invisible virus? All around you, like a swarm of microscopic mosquitoes that you could walk through at any time, walking outside with a mask on, walking around somebody, because there's risk there, you know? There's virtually none. But apparently that's not acceptable. Not acceptable. There's danger in becoming a risk-free society, because you can't function. You can't function. There will always be risks. Always. And if you let a lower and lower chance of risk determine how you will live, and lose the many good things you could do. Because the risk just isn't worth it, even though it's We lost a lot of ourselves. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I am Vector A.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Yeah, well...
The doctor is in.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray.
Now, don't you feel better?
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith, and Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Yeah, I've been shrinking for over 40 years. Used to be like 6'9". I don't know how much longer I can do this. Maybe I'll have a future as a jockey. Shrinking so much, having a hard time letting my feet hit the carpet here as I sit on this chair here in the studio at Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio, not far from Mother Angelica's childhood parish, St. Anthony Parish, southeast side of Canton, where all the Italians settled and grew up. Now, Joelle, I asked her to call me, and she did. God bless her, she did. Because she described a situation that just probably has so many complexities to it that if she were sitting in my office, we'd take a couple hours peeling back some of the layers of those onions. But right now, I told Joelle, if you call in, I can ask a few questions that might be able to give you a little better thought on the situation. To summarize, Joelle's 40-year-old daughter just says, that's it, you're out of my life. Getting so much of this, getting so very much of this from these adult children who have been raised by their parents. And apparently she called to wish Dad a happy Father's Day, and something happened, but Dad just unloaded on her. And now she says, you ain't going to see your grandkid. Hi, Joelle, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Does this surprise you that your 40-year-old daughter, after all this time, said, I don't want to have anything to do with you? Or has this been building up?
No. Total shock. We went there Easter Sunday. I left there with my husband. We had a wonderful time. My son was there, also visiting from Rochester, New York. And, everything was great. And she kissed me goodbye, said, I love you. And then that night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I got this nasty text saying that she was very upset with me. She didn't want to be around me. I was condescending. I had been irritated with her, and that I made a joke about her having another drink, which we were some drinks on deck, and she did.
Joelle, is there something wrong with your phone, dear? You're staticking in and out.
No, there's nothing wrong with my phone. I wonder if I should do the car phone.
Yeah, you better get off your speaker. I think your speaker's giving you trouble.
Okay.
Okay, can I just get you in your ear?
Right.
All right, I know you're in New York, so you're supposed to be hands-free. Maybe put your phone speaker on if it'll allow you to do that without...
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Okay, you sound a lot better now.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Here's the situation, okay. And I read this in between your lines when you sent me the email. The first thing is, if you asked your daughter, you say, oh, no, everything's been good up to now. If you ask your daughter, I got to believe she would say, no, it hasn't. That she would say, I've been tolerating an awful lot from you, and it finally got to me. That'd be my guess. So my suggestion is you ask her. You say, was that one remark enough to destroy our relationship, or has there been other stuff that I've been doing that I don't realize? And I'll bet you're going to get one litany, so you brace yourself, because here it comes. You're going to find out all the ways that you ticked her off, all the things you said, how far back it goes, 1917, and all of that, and you're going to be shocked. All right. Now, here's the second part of this. If you want this relationship to heal, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to not comment about anything.
Right.
No matter how much you think that what you say can't be taken wrong, if it's an opinion about religion, about child rearing, about her lifestyle, about anything, about when are you going to baptize the baby, she's going to not like it. She just won't like it. She's had enough. And now, I'm not saying you're wrong, Joelle. I'm not saying you're wrong at all, dear. I'm just saying we're raising an awful lot more prickly young adults, and they don't want to hear what their parents have to say about anything. Now, some of them...
Correct.
It's true. Some of them are very good about that, and they have a nice relationship with their parents, and their parents are great guides, and they seek their parents' wisdom. There are some of those, but there are some...
My son.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
My 29-year-old son.
Yeah, he's a different kid. But your daughter, whether you realize it or not, has probably decided, I'm sick of your opinions, I'm sick of your comments, I'm sick of whatever you say, and half the time you don't mean anything by it. So, at this point forward, you do two things. You go to her and you say, I just want to know, was that the only thing that upset you, or has there been many other things that I'm not aware of? Please tell me. I want to correct
them. Okay.
You're gonna put your hat in your hand. Don't defend yourself. Don't say, I didn't mean that. You know, why do you do that? You misinterpret. No. Just, I want to hear how you heard it. And then you say, what if I really tried hard not to do that anymore? Well, I don't think you can. Well, are you willing to give me the chance? I don't know. Okay. Well, I hope you will, because I'm willing to do that. So if you're going to soften her up, that's about the only way to do it.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. I'm glad you called, because for me to put all of this down in an email would have taken me a day and a half.
I know. Yes, thank you.
And thank you for calling, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Rack.
I love you, Dr. Rack.
Try it. Let me know how it works. I think it's your best chance. Thank you, dear. Here we go. I'm telling you, I think there's two reasons for why there are so many of these kind of calls. One, people of faith who listen to Catholic media tend to be a little older, because in their lives they've decided the faith is very, very important to them, and they value Catholic media. So they listen to programs like this probably in larger numbers, even though my approach to life can pull in a lot of younger people too, a lot of younger parents, those with questions about their faith who are younger. So I think I reach a little broader spectrum of age groups. However, we get a lot of parents like Joelle and like Irma here who are saying, okay, I'm trying to get along with this older child, and I'm probably doing things I don't realize are causing problems, right or wrong. And there are these very strained parent-to-young-adult relationships. Now, Irma from San Antonio has somehow, some way, logistically, emotionally, picking up the pieces, Lee, asked her adult daughter to come back home and live with them. Now, that's where we are. Hi, Irma.
Hey, sir. We're calling in today because, essentially, we want to do the right thing. My husband and I have put God at the center of our life. We are retired, both of us, from the military, and we're in a position in our life where we were able to retire outright, and we basically have gone to Mass daily, and even though there was a pandemic going on, we've served and done everything that we can. And since we've put God at the center of our life, we've noticed more and more a greater divide with our adult children, none of which are practicing Catholicism, and all of them have had all their sacraments. The youngest one is 22, and she's been diagnosed with bipolar 1 some years back. She's never been in any treatment plan because she's refused treatment, and she's never been on medication until just recently when she's bounced from, you know, friend's house to friend's house. Her options became limited, and she circled back. We offered her a place to live with the...
She burned every bridge, right, Irma?
Well, almost. She still has some feelers out there that... She's a runner. If things, you know, obviously we both retired from the military, we're used to being sort of militant. She was accusing me yesterday of you just have to tell me what to do. Well, at 22, she does childlike behaviors like carrying a blueberry smoothie and spilling it upstairs, the only place in the house we have carpet, you know, and things like this. So she's destructive, whether she realizes it or not. We were making jokes that she's like a rabid hamster that gets out of her cage, makes messes all over the house, and then when you try to take her out of her cage to feed her or play with her, she bites you. So her mood is very, very extreme. So we're trying
why
to
did
do
you,
right
why did you ask her, her why did you ask her to come home, mm-hmm. Irma?
I think because we both realized she possesses no real life skills in order to be out there on her own. Although she is adamant about, you know, trying to be treated like an adult, she's almost childlike at times where she's got the skill set of a 12-year-old. So part of us feel, I guess, compassionate toward her. But at the other spectrum, we don't want to be abused. And that's kind of where we're in the middle now with, you know, asking her to leave because she's not listening to just simple things like we don't eat in our bedroom. We don't eat anywhere except at the kitchen table. So we're expecting her to do the same.
Irma, whatever diagnosis she has, now you said yes, sir, twice, which I know you were military, and you didn't even have to tell me that. My daughter's military, too. She's a major JAG lawyer, so we're kind of happy for Annie.
There you go.
What her behavior in not being able to even cooperate with the tiniest little things is not due to her diagnosis. You can't look at the diagnosis and say, well, because she was diagnosed bipolar, she can't not eat a blueberry milkshake in her bedroom. That's highly unlikely. All right. So
that's what my husband says too.
So it's coming down to the fact you have to decide. We tried to reach out to you. We tried to help you. We've tried to do what we can do to have you live here. You're progressively becoming more uncooperative. Yeah. Now, will you be throwing your daughter to the wolves if you say, no, she just can't make it here? I had a couple kids like that. So she has other options, I would assume. I'm going to have to hit a break here. You stay right there. We'll talk some more. Don't go away. 877-573-7825.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me.
You do not know the work of God, who is working in everything.
Every cell of your body contains a helix strand of DNA made from 3 billion molecules. But only 1.5% of those 3 billion are the genes used to produce the proteins that determine your biological traits. Initially, this caused scientists to label the remaining 2.9 billion junk DNA. But today, scientists are discovering it's probably not junk at all, but critical to our lives and the well-being of later generations. But when asked exactly what good are those billions of mysterious molecules, they really have no idea. But God knows, and one day you will too. At AveMariaRadio.net, under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Good to be here with you. I hope you're at some percentage pleased to be here with me. Dr. Ray Guarini, I'm talking to Irma, San Antonio, Texas. Her adult daughter, age 20, has had a bit of a history, a lot of social struggles. At some point along the way, diagnosed bipolar. I certainly can't question that diagnosis, although I can say that bipolar is one of the more common go-to diagnoses now. And there was a study out by, I think it was Harvard Medical School, that concluded that it in their opinion, it was 50% of the time overdiagnosed. So her daughter's back home. She is quite uncooperative. She's bounced around to many other places to live. I would imagine she left when she was 18 or so. Now she's being quite uncooperative, disrespectful of her parents and their environment. And mom is saying, what do we do here? We got a real decision to make. If we say you can't live here because you can't cooperate, you have to find other arrangements. We don't know what will happen to her. Does that distill it down, Irma?
It is. That was a pretty good summary. I mean, she would be eligible for TRICARE if she was still under 21, but she's 22 now, so she's indigent care. So we've reached out to services that were downtown in San Antonio that are designed to help people with indigent care get the mental health they need. And she's been, it's a process. That was a long process, I have to say, an arduous process, and we got her involved in that. And so, now, have we seen a bit of difference in the 4 weeks that she's been on supposedly her medication? No, not at all. So I'm a little bit concerned about how long that would take to show improvement. And at what point do we have to just, you know, really think of ourselves, because she's difficult. So
you should definitely see it by now. And It's probably a combination of whatever chemical processes got her the diagnosis of bipolar, and a combination of social struggles, relationship struggles, behavior struggles, emotional struggles, which she probably has better control over than she wants to exert.
Okay.
if we did this with my daughter, we got her group home. We could not live with her. She was too right. unmanageable. We got her group home. And she had some pretty significant diagnoses, and those diagnoses allowed her to get Social Security funds. Surprisingly, okay. Yeah. Surprisingly, the first time through. Usually it takes more than once. So
the problem is, I think that she's got enough contacts, and she's relying on her good looks and everything, and she's charming when she wants to be. So I guess highly manipulative would be another skill set that she possesses that lets her bypass the normal process of having to, you know, stick with treatment. I'm hoping, though, that she'll take this opportunity to actually pursue the treatment plan. We're willing to help her with that.
What if she doesn't?
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, we're kind of torn because we want to do what's right. We've always been sort of selfless service, self-sacrificing in everything we've done in life. And so
you can only place it before her.
Sure.
You can't make her. And the position you're in, and I'm not going to tell you what to do with your daughter, but the position you're in, you have every right as a parent to say, these are my conditions. In our judgment, we're not helping you. In our judgments, you're not cooperative, and you now have to find other options. Having seen this hundreds of times, the odds are quite high that you're going to get to that point anyway, because she's not likely to improve. She's likely to keep pushing. You've seen that. So what tends to happen in these cases is that it gets so untenable that they force you to do something you don't want to do, which is to essentially say you're on your own. Here's options. Yeah. There's services out there. You can take advantage of them. And if she says, I don't want to, what are you going to do?
I know. Yeah.
She's 22 years old.
Yeah, I know.
So that's where you're at.
No, it's heartbreaking.
Well, it is. It is. And the problem is you can't control her. And that's what's bothering you. You think there's some way to control her. There's some way to want her to get better. Well, maybe if you let her live there for the next 5 years, perhaps something might improve here and there. But you'll be crazy by then.
Okay.
You're probably already on borderline.
So what about setting up? Okay, so we set up boundaries, and then is there a particular, you know, like timeline?
That's your decision. That's
right,
your decision.
Okay. So there's no rhyme or reason how to do this. It's just individual.
No. Yep. There's no formula. Okay. There's nothing to say. Okay. You can decide that. You can just simply say, here is our conditions. Here's the time. We'll make a judgment at the end of that. And we've already set you up with a social worker.
Okay. Well, since we're on Catholic radio, I would ask everyone that's listening, please pray for Kimberly. Thank you.
And a lot of them do, Irma. A lot of them do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And us. And us.
And for your service.
Sure. Oh, thank you, sir. Okay, well, and good on your daughter. Very good. My son, Austin, is serving at Fort Hood right now, and he's in explosive ordnance disposal.
There you go. I got a son in Fort Hood, too.
Oh, wow.
So there we go.
Okay.
Gotcha. Thanks, Irma.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
I'll see you. We got Mallory up next, but I 877-573-7825. Like to hear more calls. Remember, the rule is when you call up, it doesn't matter where you call on the show. You have pretty close to equal chance of getting on. People just are still of the mindset, I got to call early because if I don't, I'll never get on. No, that's not true. You have equal chance for the most part. We give some nod to people who have waited a while. That's a component of the call accepting decision. However, calls are accepted for many different reasons, known only to us. And we can't share them with you because you're just not part of the inside group, you know. So I got to take a break here. Well, I got about a minute. Let me do something I want to do. Good Lord permitting. Next week, Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we will be in Omaha, Nebraska. John Paul II Center. Taping four shows of Living Right with Dr. Ray, the EWTN program, airing on Saturday nights at 10 Eastern, as well as a couple times during the week on reruns. Gone out to KVSS Spirit Radio, Catholic Turf, wonderful people out there. They are signing up left and right to be in the audience. We'd love to have you in the audience. Audience makes a show, in my opinion. Live audience really adds the energy. And I'm going to promise you, I'm going to use you for some bits. And the people who see you on TV are going to say, I saw you on TV. I can't believe you did that. Nothing embarrassing. Nothing embarrassing. But I got some stuff planned. So go to spiritcatholicradio.com. And they'll tell you. They'll give you all the details on how to sign up, how to get there. You can come for one show, you can come for two, you can come for all four. We'll have great guests. We've got some real good guests coming up, as well as audience interaction, questions, and fun. And I may even use you in a few roll bits. So go there. We'd like to load up that audience. Minimum 100 people plus. Either that or I'll just take it you don't like me. Try not to take it personal.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
There are legitimate differences of opinion in any religion. There are differences of opinion in Catholicism. But in Catholicism, you expect that people will take the teaching of its supreme authority seriously. To go diametrically opposed to those teachings is to not be a Catholic. Someone in the name of Catholicism is sponsoring the destruction of human life. Lives of unborn children. And they got the name Catholic on the door. The highest authority in Catholicism and the encyclical Humanae Vitae, Evangelium Vitae, is absolutely clear that no Catholic can support abortion and that Catholics are responsible to take serious action against legalized abortion.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible. The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Equals the number to call if you'd like to be onto the program. Poor Mallory from Charleston, South Carolina. She just kept having children, and this is what happened. She was taking chances getting this kind of child. Right, Mallory?
That's right. Hi, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Mallory. Is this your youngest, or are there children wrapped in different directions around this child?
Well, youngest for now. We've been blessed with
sure.
a fifth and three more months. So,
Mallory, you just thought you were God's gift of parenting, didn't you?
Well, I love my husband.
But this was so easy. We have these three children, and how rewarding. And we're getting along, and things are nice. And you know, I've heard about children who are really difficult in these early preschool years, but none of our children are. Wait, I got one. Did you?
Well, no, she's definitely not the first tantrum thrower.
Oh, okay.
I actually called you 4 years ago.
I'm raising your children. I'm raising your children.
That's why we have so many.
What if I'm not around? What if I'm not around when those kids are 20, huh? Do you ever think about that?
About.
All right.
Yeah.
So what concerns you about this child?
Well, she bites herself. And she,
Dumb.
During... What's that?
Dumb. That's a dumb child. Right? She should bite other people. She bites herself. That hurts.
Right.
Okay.
Well, she's bitten a sibling or two, too.
So. All right. I'm glad she's an equal opportunity biter.
It's not unwarranted, I guess.
Well, I mean, you got little preschoolers all around her. She's got to defend herself, and your teeth are the toughest part of your body, and your jaw's the strongest muscle. So, hey, that's your weapon.
Right.
All right. You
well,
stand.
Also
I got to do something about
it. Bang her head back.
I used to do that.
During a tantrum.
I used to do that. You better stop her, or else she'll become a radio host. Better stop her. So when she bangs her head back, does she hurt herself?
I mean, seemingly no, but she's also screaming and probably has an adrenaline rush. But
you got a soft playpen? You got a soft playpen?
Yes.
Pack and play?
Yeah.
Pick her up, stick her in it.
What if we're out where... Like at church, she'll...
Bring her to the car and put her in the car seat. Bring her to the car, put her in the car seat.
Okay.
What you're doing is you're... She's going to outgrow this, okay, if you respond to it.
Right.
But what you're doing is you're simply saying, okay, this ain't going to go. You're only 19 months. That's what 19-month-old kids do. You do it maybe more than some of the other kids. All right, that's who you are. Fine. Doesn't mean that's who you're going to be when you're 9, but it means who you are now. So therefore, if you're going to bang your head, I'm going to make it so you can't hurt yourself. And now the biting part of it, I don't think she really bites that hard, right? I don't see blood or teeth marks. Maybe teeth marks a little bit.
Teeth marks, yeah.
Teeth marks, okay.
Yeah.
But not blood, right?
Right.
She's frustrated. I'm just simply saying, you know, I used to do that. One time my mother, I don't know how old I was, 3 or 4. And I had this one toy. It's called a kitty in a keg, where you unwrapped this barrel and you kept unwrapping it all the way down, smaller and smaller barrels, till you got this little tiny barrel with a kitty in it. Well, it wouldn't open the way I wanted it, so I threw it against the cinder block wall in the basement and it shattered.
Yeah.
My mother said, she was nearby washing clothes, Raymond, pick it up. I said, you pick it up. I was a delightful child. She said, I said, pick it up. I said, no. And I went over to the cinder block wall. This shows you how dumb I was. And this would explain some of the things you've heard on this radio show that you're thinking, he's missing a cylinder or two. I started banging my head against the cinder block wall. And I was going to continue to do it until she bid my doing, or she did my bidding. I had her. Putty in my hands, the woman was going to be. She came over, and I knew I had her because she was going to pick up those pieces. My mother was an Italian mother, that time 28 or 9 years old. She said, here, Raymond, let me help you, reaching for my head. Now, she was not going to do that. But my little 4-year-old mind didn't know that. And I decided right away quick that headbutting was not all it was cracked up to be. So I think your little daughter is trying to tell you, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? You see what you just did? You frustrated me. Okay. How about this? What are you going to do about that, huh? Now, there may be a component. There may be a component to that. Okay. That's all right. You're going to ignore it as long as she's not doing damage. And you're going to put her somewhere where she can't. And she'll realize every time I throw a fit, this is what happens. So my fits are going to get fewer and shorter and farther between. That's what's going to happen. Now, how long is that going to take? I have no idea. And if you were my client, I would say, I have no idea. That'll be $80. But since you're not my client, I have no idea. And it's not costing you a thing for my ignorance.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, that's what you got to do. Just who she is, what she does. And you know what, dear? If you're pregnant with your fifth, well, you know what you just did. I'd hate to scare you with this. But up to this point, you had four children, and you did not have a middle child. You had an upper middle and a lower middle. Well, now, your second oldest, no, who would, how would that work? No, your second youngest is going to become your middle child. You've just created a middle child. Aren't you scared?
Well, she's actually, yes, she, my middle child already has middle child syndrome. She's very three and wants to be figuring out her place in the world. But
you are going to see, my dear, even though those two kids came from the same two trees, you are going to see the wide genetic diversity in raising these children. One of them is going to make you feel like you are a parenting goddess. And another one is going to make you feel like, I'm so inept. I go to confession every other day. I can't believe this. I say the same sins every time. I just want to shoot a bazooka as a warning shot. I can't believe what's happened to me. I was so much holier when I was younger. I can't. Oh. Yep. Yep. Thank you, Mallory. What a nice call.
Thank you.
Bless your pregnancy and all your bunch of kids. All righty, dear.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
877-573-7825 if you want to get on. All right? You have a pretty good chance. So, this is Dr. Ray.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Catholic law is not cynical about human government, but it does understand its limitations. Let me just quote from the Catechism. Human society can be neither well-ordered nor prosperous unless it has some people invested with legitimate authority to preserve its institutions and to devote themselves as far as is necessary to work and care for the good of all. Every human community needs an authority to govern it. Now, we know that, of course. The family has a certain authority, business has an authority, and government has certain authorities. We are blessed in that in our moment in history, governments are composed in by the consent of the governed. It means we have to look beyond the political rhetoric that's used by politicians and lobbyists to sell a bill or a referendum item. And so I would just stress time and again, don't be cynical, but be prudent. Don't be suspicious, but be inquiring.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Break one of the rules of broadcasting here. Well, maybe I'm not. Don't have to do that. Things have changed. I'm not real scared to break the rules of broadcasting anyway because I break them all the time. But it's real good to have you with me. The program is a co-production between Ave Maria Radio Communications and the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. 20 years ago, I think I started this program. Something like that. I remember just gotten out of college. Actually, no, I just gotten out of middle school. It was Teresa Tomio who had just gotten out of college at the same time. Delighted to have you with me. We're going to get to your calls in a moment. Just a couple of announcements. New book is Jesus the Master Psychologist, to show you how living his way will give you the best possible life. Where if modern psychology agrees with him, whether they admit it or not, or they disagree with him. Now, that book is signed on my website bookstore. We also have a new bonus offer on the website bookstore. People have gone there a lot, and I just wanted to add something different. If you buy three of the books, there's, I think, 17 books there. If you buy three of my books, you can choose one of three books for free. If you buy four, you can choose two books for free. Now, that should take care of your psychological gaps. There's no question. Should. DrRay.com. Carrie from Michigan. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hello. I'm okay.
This is another big parent picking up the pieces of the younger, older daughter.
Yes. Yes.
She wants the divorce, doesn't she?
She does. And at first, we told her that we understood. This hasn't been a good relationship. They've been together 12 years, married 6. We knew from the beginning and tried to tell her this wasn't a good person, a good guy for her. And now she realizes it. But the thing is, she had gotten into another relationship of what we are totally against. And actually had a friend had set her up with a guy before she even decided about this divorce.
Well, that pushed it along a lot faster, didn't it?
Yes, it did. So we are wondering what our position could be. She reminds us that she is 31 years old and can do what she wants, but they do have two children, which are our two grandchildren. And so we try to say we do have something to say in this because this is their lives also of how we, you know, we can.
Have you already said it, Carrie?
Yes.
Then it's enough.
Okay.
If you think you're going to say it some more, and somehow that's going to make it more impactful, or if you think you're going to find a better way to say it, and then she'll say, oh, gosh, you know, I hadn't thought of that. It's unlikely. Couple of things.
Okay.
Couple of things. Your daughter right now probably feels, I deserve happiness. I haven't had happiness with this guy, and this other person I'm with makes me feel so much better, so much more wonderful. You as parents are more clear-eyed. You see the freight train coming down the tracks. And you see the picking up of the pieces that are going to have to happen. About the best you can do is say to her, what do you think will happen once the divorce, when the children get shared custody with him or even visitation with him, and you can't control any of it? He can give them what they want, what he wants. He can let them watch what they want. He can raise them completely differently than you want to raise them. What do you think will happen if he gets into a relationship and she has a kid? She likes her kid, but she doesn't like yours. What do you think will happen there?
Right.
What do you think will happen when they're 12 and they say, I don't want to go to mom because she has rules. I'm staying with dad. I'm not going to visit mom. See, she's not thinking through any of this. None of it. I have a book called Married Small Steps, Big Rewards. And one of the chapters says, dump the D word. And I talk about all the ways that people don't think about the complications that they want to think about after they get out of this supposed terrible relationship for a quote-unquote much better one. It's complications everywhere. They don't anticipate them.
Right.
Most people will tell you they're unhappier after the divorce in this new thing than they were before. That's what the data says. That's what the data says. So that's about the only angle you can take. Oh,
yeah.
She's happy now. Oh, yeah.
Way.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay. Well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
And maybe you can tell her that there are ways that she can learn to live better with this guy that might change him.
Mm-hmm.
And she just thinks he can't change. There's no way. So, but that's the only thing I would do. I wouldn't go too heavily into, because she's already shut you off. I'm 31. Don't tell me. Carrie, thank you for the call. It's a heartbreaker. I've seen it so much. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate the company. Appreciate you being with me. Andrew Krucek, producer man. Eric Dumont, call screamer man. And you, caller people. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.